This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Lin Mark, and Wang Xiaoning, as well as Julian Ng. It's 6:01 in the morning, Tuesday, the 24th of March. It is also day 7 of the Movement Control Order. One full week, guys.
Yeah, not too bad. I've been working at home for a while. I haven't gone crazy yet.
How will we know when you go nuts, Julian?
You'll never know because it'll be the same as my usual self anyway.
Does that mean you've already gone crazy and you just haven't told us about it?
Could be. I don't even know. I probably should talk to somebody about that.
Probably. Yeah, I think we have about one more week to go of this movement control order. And I think it's interesting how Malaysians have come up with different ways to really handle either working from home or just, you know, managing when their companies are shut and the schools are closed and all the kids are home from school. It's been an interesting time, certainly.
Yeah, my sister says, you know, if her kids drive her nuts. I think for a lot of parents, this is something new for them. So they don't know how to cope with the kids being at home with them 24/7. So, and they can't get outside. So they've got all this energy, right? What do you do with them? But then you end up thinking of interesting ways to keep them occupied. Like for one, they've started like a lot of arts and crafts projects because that's the only way, right? You got to keep them busy. Otherwise, as a parent, you go nuts too.
Yeah, it was actually quite funny. Yesterday, I found my grandmother reading comics with my very young siblings. And this is my close to 80-year-old grandmother, and she found it she was actually quite interested in the comics herself. So it's the new things you learn while you're stuck at home. But in the meantime, we do have lots of things lined up to talk about with you this morning and in this next hour. Later on, after the 6:30 news, what do we have?
Well, I mean, in this new era, there are hot spots being identified as the coronavirus, where the infection rate seems to be very high. But the point is that we're using the latest technology to keep tabs on it, which is interesting.
All right. And we are also going to talk about the fact that the coronavirus is causing a big part of the globe to go into a lockdown. And this is really collapsing global economies. I think collapsing is a mild word, maybe a disemboweling, maybe. And the worst hit would be the poor. Right. Mm. And in that vein, Norway, which has a $1 trillion fund, sovereign wealth fund, has proposed that the United Nations set up a coronavirus fund to help the poor.
All right, and if you want to weigh in on those conversations, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, speaking of technology, we're going to be taking a look at some of the technological innovations coming up for contact tracing. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Ready for Love by Bad Company. And no reason you should be putting up with Bad Company when you could listen to us and keep updated all morning here on BFM. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Xiaoning and Julian. Now, just yesterday we were talking about some of the innovations that have come about as a result of this movement control order. We took a look at businesses and, you know, how a lot of them are turning to social media to try and sell their wares and keep themselves afloat. But, you know, another innovation has come about in Singapore, and there's an article on the Mothership about it. It's an app called Trace Together, and this is to help facilitate contact tracing of people who have been tested positive of the coronavirus. So what it does is that it makes use of your phone's Bluetooth and geolocation to be able to say, you know, if say all three of us here in studio have downloaded Trace Together, the app will actually log the fact that we were together within the same kind of same space and for how long, so that if authorities do need to trace your contacts subsequently, you can just give them consent to use that data. It's quite interesting, actually.
It's a very good app, I think. Effectively, it keeps an audit of who you've been with, and that also tracks the movement of possibly the virus as well. And it's been crazily downloaded by Singaporeans. I think over 600,000 downloads at certain points, even downloaded 100 downloads per second.
Well, they're not the only ones that are doing it, right? Because I think Korea and China have used technology to a large extent to kind of contain the coronavirus. So like even in China, right, you need to actually download an app And that app will actually, you key in all your movements, your history, who you've been hanging out with. And that app will actually will decide whether you can or cannot enter, for example, a building. So when you go through security, you have to kind of flash the app. And I think it's like green or yellow or red. So if it's green, then the security zaps it and then you can go into that building. If you get a red, you just can't go in because you're deemed as like high risk.
So that requires user input?
Yes, it requires user input. Of course, there have been some questions about, privacy, because everything is in there.
And also honesty.
Yeah, and honesty.
Like, but this one just, all you need to do is download it.
But this one also, eventually there will be a pattern, right? Because it will show that you've been into this building, that building, you went into this block and that block. So they can actually monitor every movement after a while. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably going to be somewhat the future for all of us, because I don't think, sadly, COVID-19 is going to be the first and last pandemic we face.
See, that's the thing, right? As much as COVID-19 has really taken over public discourse over the past couple of months, in all likelihood, COVID-19 is also not going to last forever. And this particular Trace Together app is open source, so other companies and countries can take it and build upon it. And how is this app going to... I'm just worried that an app like this could be misused in a time when perhaps the coronavirus is no longer our primary concern.
Yeah, that's right. I think the privacy concerns are huge issues. And definitely governments, especially the governments which are not very democratic, will use that against you to track your movements and to impose very draconian measures possibly on your freedom to move and freedom to interact. But I am pretty comforted that this is open source, because that's a great way to collaborate. And I think if people are worried about it, they can use the open source system to really design something that would be able to ensure your privacy. For example, the very simple programming of a switch to turn that thing on or off. I'm sure it already exists, such technologies, and whether you allow yourself to be tracked or not, right? At the end of the day, that mustn't be something that is hidden or embedded in there to track your movement without you knowing about it.
But you're actually already being tracked, right? Because Korea, one of the ways they tracked people's movements, guess what, is through the use of your credit card and your debit card. Because every time, it's a very cashless society there, for example, right? So every time you make a purchase, they know, or they knew where you had been or where you had gone.
They know what you did last summer.
Yeah, plus because everyone there is connected to Wi-Fi, to a phone, 24/7, they also knew all your movements, exactly where you had been. So guess what, guys? It doesn't matter whether you download an app. This app or another app, pretty much governments already know where you are. Plus, there is surveillance everywhere nowadays. Like for a city like Singapore, it's super common. CCTV China is extremely common. So, technology is here already. It's just like a question whether they want to use it now for its good because they need to track people, or eventually what will it be used for?
So this virus is actually forcing us to go into a kind of dystopia where every movement is being tracked and your behavior is being tracked.
Just look outside during this movement control order. It does feel like we've stepped into a kind of a dystopian future film, because the roads are so empty. But yeah, I guess at the end of the day, technology is a tool, and it's really up to the people wielding it to decide whether to use it for good or for evil, right?
Well, I think in these circumstances, use it, because you really need to track every cluster down.
Yes, absolutely.
Containment is key.
Absolutely. But post-COVID-19, I think there is going to be some regulation needed, perhaps, and more stricter enforcement to see how this can actually not be misused. But do tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at a donor fund set up by Norway to combat the coronavirus. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was 17 by Sharon Van Etten, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shanning and Julian. Now, as this COVID-19 pandemic rapidly overwhelms several public healthcare in several countries, Italy is a good example, one concern is now, in countries where the public healthcare system is notoriously fragile, India, for example, How are these countries going to cope if and when they see a surge in cases in their own countries? Now, in the UN, Norway has proposed a solution, and they've said that they're going to be starting a UN donors fund to help poor countries fight the coronavirus pandemic.
I think this is something that's really needed, because these are extraordinary times and you need to take extraordinary measures. And to be co-opted into the global economic system, sometimes it's very challenging, you know, to raise money, to go into the debt system, you know, you've got to get rated and so on. And all these poor countries, and especially the poor members of rich societies, right? They need help. They need direct help. So this kind of thing, I think, is something that is very needed. But how to coordinate the whole thing, in fact, how to administer the cash handouts, right, to directly to the, so that the people who need it get the money rather than the money going somewhere else.
Yeah, how do you use this money effectively, right? Does it go into healthcare? Probably. You probably need some of that. You probably also need some, like you say, Julian, a version, the new term, helicopter money, right? Putting money into people's pockets to keep them going. You probably also need to, in some way, put money into businesses. Because if businesses can't continue, and I'm talking small businesses here, you know, how are they going to survive? And then you'll have spiraling unemployment as well. So there's just so many, I suppose, needs at the same time. The question is then, which is a priority? Who gets what? I think those are the difficult questions. Of course, hopefully more and more people also donate to this fund, right? Because even in Malaysia, I mean, we look at the headline numbers and the infection rate, yes, did go up yesterday. We have more than 1,500. But actually, when you consider all this, because I had a conversation with someone yesterday, we are still very lucky. We still have beds in hospitals. We still have ICUs. We have enough medical... We have just about enough medical assistance. Mm-hmm. I suppose doctors, frontliners, we could always do with more. But imagine if you're in Malawi. Do you know the country only has 25 ICU beds, for example? So if the virus goes there, right, really, it's just going to swamp medical care there. So yes, donors like Norway, they really need to step up. Even we are very lucky.
The question also is, with funds like this, how long will it take to disburse funds, right? Because just recently we saw the US talking about helicopter money, and that bill has failed to pass the Senate. But you know, there was analysis surrounding that, you know, the idea while it was good, the previous times that the US had implemented this, it had taken 2-3 months for that money to actually reach the pockets of the American people. How much more complicated is it if you're talking about giving large-scale aid to countries out of an international donor fund? So I think the intention is good, and I think it is definitely required right now. But seeing as the pandemic is evolving almost on a day-to-day basis, is this going to be, you know, when is this fund going to come into effect? Is it going to be in time to help these poor countries?
Yeah, I think those are very, very valid concerns, the concerns about challenges of distributing such funds. But the intention is good. Mm-hmm. And I think that during the post-World War II period that, you know, the United Nations was set up, the World Bank was set up, and these institutions at the time were very relevant in restructuring and reconstructing countries, right? So right now...
They were also a lot smaller, though. I mean, the original League of Nations was, what, less than 20 countries? Now the UN is at 211 countries or something like that?
Yes. Well, it starts from an idea, right? So now you need that Norway has proposed this idea. I think that it's very relevant for the money to be distributed very quickly. But one very quick way, I think, for rich countries to do is to embark on debt forgiveness for poor countries, because that can be done in a split second, right?
Yes.
And forgiving poor countries of their debt of perhaps, you know, trillions of dollars in a split second allows them greater management of their fiscal responsibility. Fiscal flexibility is what they get from that instantaneous debt forgiveness.
I think also the tolerance towards debt has to increase significantly. I mean, it, in the last few years, it's been like a bad word, right? You don't incur debt. But we are, like you say, Julian, going through extraordinary times. There really isn't or shouldn't be a consideration about how much debt you need to kind of have in your system. So, for example, like Japan, 250% debt to GDP. Mm-hmm. You know, at this current juncture, even if you go to 500%, does it really matter? Because your priorities are basically your people, right? Making sure that they have enough money to continue.
So as far as that is concerned, I think for countries which are represented by hard currencies, the US dollar, Japanese yen, the UK pound sterling, European euro, right? They can issue debt. There is a constraint on a country, for example, like Malaysia. The more debt you issue, the weaker your currency becomes, and that has an impact on the economy as well. So it's a very fine balance, I think. That's the problem. Rich countries have to help.
Absolutely. And this is an issue that is likely going to be debated over the next couple of months as this coronavirus outbreak continues. But right now we are heading into the 6:30 news. And here to take you there is Gin Blossoms with Till I Hear It From You, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by Queens of the Stone Age. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Shanning and Julian Ng. Now, you know, throughout this coronavirus outbreak here in Malaysia, I think the ministry, we have started to see the numbers tick slowly ever upwards. And now the Federal Territories Minister has declared the Sri Petaling Mosque in Titi Wangsa, has declared it as a COVID-19 red zone. And I think these red zones are defined as areas where more than 40 cases of COVID-19 were recorded. So Titi Wangsa is one of the red zones. Lembah Pantai is also one of the red zones. And this really came about as a result of the mass gatherings that we saw a few weeks ago. It really just underscoring the government's message to stay at home, practice social distancing, don't go out in large crowds.
Actually, you need to be really an OCD control freak to make sure that people keep to the MCO, right? And all of us right now have to be OCD about this. Like, you can't just break any rules that you want. You really have got to make sure that you stick to the rules.
Yeah, there are no exceptions, right?
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, I still see people go running in my neighborhood. I'm like, what are they doing? I thought it was really very clear that you're not supposed to be doing any exercise outside. But, you know, the attitude is, oh, what difference does it make? I'm just one person. But if everybody has that same kind of attitude, then, you know, everybody will be on the road running too. Because trust me, I miss my running a lot. But just too bad. These are the rules for these 2 weeks.
There were reports coming out of the police on the Penang Bridge the other day that people were still trying to cross the bridge to go to the mainland to get char kway teow. Or to get food, to get dinner.
Are those stalls even open?
that is the question, right? Because it kind of boggles the mind. Like, why would you not heed the MCO unless you really think that this is not going to affect you? But even if that's the case, this clearly is an issue, and it could infect people around you who have lower immunity.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just human nature, right? Sometimes it's very hard to enforce very well-entrenched habits. Mm. Even the call not to touch your face or to scratch, it's very hard to actually follow that, you know, like you just feel like touching your beautiful face every 5 seconds, right? And then if you expand that to the national level and now the global level, right, there are bound to be people who would not follow the rules. I mean, I saw a very funny tweet yesterday from the Italian mayors, right?
Yes, I saw that
A video of all the Italian mayors using all the four-letter words that they can, whether in English or Italian, just telling people to stay at home, stay the heck at home.
I really like the one where the guy says, you know, I know you Italians want to throw your graduation parties. Guess what? The police are going to come and use flamethrowers to light,
yeah, exactly.
And then there was
that's
like,
what's needed.
Yeah, and there was another mayor, I think he was out and about and screaming at kids, like, what are you doing? You know, go home. You know, what are you doing on the streets? And maybe you really need that kind of approach, right? So maybe next time if I see a jogger, I'll just say, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be at home. Just use an exercise video if you need to burn up some energy.
Yeah, so on the one hand, you know, you have people who are very, you know, who are staying at home, but you know, how effective is this going to be if you do still have people on the roads for non-essential reasons? Because if you do, you know, this doesn't mean that you can't go out and get groceries. This doesn't mean that you can't go out to the pharmacy if you are in desperate need of something, right? But it means that you need to take necessary precautions while you're doing that and practice social distancing. So for those people who are just going out willy-nilly, you know, if they are not heeding the movement control order, what other precautions are they not taking because they don't believe it affects them?
Well, I think this is the time where you just have to play your part. Don't be selfish, right? Because we really have to think for everyone else. And like you say, okay, fine, you're healthy, you might survive this, but there are lots of people who won't. And there are many who are still very vulnerable.
And you can pass it on.
Yeah.
I mean, as a healthy person, you can pass it on to a weaker person.
You can actually have no symptoms whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't even know you had it.
And nobody enjoys being stuck under this MCO, right? Having no other recourse but to stay home and Google Hangouts with your friends and family because you can't actually meet up in person or to come up with entirely new things to do within the four walls of your home. I think 7 days into the MCO, a lot of people are already, starting to get cabin fever somewhat. But all of these people are nevertheless heeding the MCO. So, you know, it is very much a responsibility as a person who lives in this country and who could potentially pass this coronavirus on to others if you are infected. So, you know, I tend to think that we need to see more enforcement of the MCO for those who are, you know, just kind of going out for non-essential reasons. But the communication of that enforcement to the ground level also needs to be improved, because we've seen a number of police roadblocks enforced by the army as well on the roads these past couple of days. And it doesn't feel that sometimes the wires have gotten a little crossed. They don't really know what it is they're supposed to be checking for. So all of that needs to be cleared up, and that we need to hear more from the government in terms of how are they addressing the coronavirus. While we stand by for more news and updates to bring to you, right now we do have some messages, and then after that we're coming back to take a look at social media as well as the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. That was Kruang Bin with People Everywhere Still Alive, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Julian. Now, taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning, I've got the Star in front of me, which has gone with the front page. To wear a mask or not to is the question, because there's been a lot of confusion over if you don't have any symptoms, should you be wearing a mask, or is it only frontliners and those who have respiratory symptoms? Are those the ones who need to have it on? Because there have been stories of police at roadblocks stopping you and giving lectures if you don't wear a face mask, giving rise to the fear that you could be fined or arrested.
There was even some news that some of the supermarkets enforced a mask, right? A mask rule, and they weren't allowing people in to buy groceries. So, a lot of confusion there, because our DG of Health has come out to say, use it if you're in the front line, use it if you're showing symptoms, but otherwise it should be fine. Just practice social distancing.
So has Senior Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob. I think yesterday he came out to echo that, to say that the government has not made it mandatory for the use of face masks. Any supermarkets that implement those measures are doing it of their own initiative.
Yeah, so right now there is also a shortage of masks, especially for the frontliners, because they have to use and discard. So I think it's not a bad idea to actually not test the system, not pressure the system. The demand and supply balance is so fragile right now, and leave it to people who need it most.
Yeah, I think there's no denying the priority should be with the frontliners or whether you're a doctor or a nurse, or even if you're, let's say you're in the hospital as a cleaner, you do need that mask. You are exposed.
Okay, on the Malay paper, Harian Metro is asking the question of whether the MCO will be extended beyond March 31st. And that's on a lot of other people's minds as well. And as a sidebar on the paper as well, the front page of the paper is talking about more government measures to help people cope with the economic fallout of the COVID-19.
It's a similar headline on the Sina Harian. They also do mention all the financial help you can get with COVID-19. So yesterday we know like you can withdraw EPF, for example, things like that. The Financial Daily, The Edge, basically has a headline because they are running an appeal for corporate Malaysia. So the headline is Help Our Healthcare Heroes. I think they're trying to raise some money. Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, the Star on page 4 has a small article saying Johor cops looking for 75 yet to be tested, and these are 75 people from the public gathering at the Sri Petaling Mosque. Just this morning, I saw another article in the Malay Mail talking about these hotspots and saying that police had to escort two people to be tested, and escort was written in quotes. Really, if you have been exposed, go and get tested. If there are concerns that you may be positive for the COVID-19 infection, then you are risking all of the people in your immediate surroundings. So if you have any concerns at all, go and get tested.
I think the problem with testing is also the cost of it. Mm-hmm. It's anywhere between 500 and 700 ringgit. So that may be a deterrent for the lower income group to actually fork out that kind of money. So the government also needs to think of ways where you can have free testing for people who
It is free it. Yeah. In the government clinics and the hospitals. So you can get it. It is available. It's just that I think at the moment there might be very long queues and you should be symptomatic first. Yes. That's the point.
Yes. Yeah. And if you have been exposed to someone who has already tested positive. Now, the NST, has gone with for the people in these difficult times, and they're talking about the changes to the government's proposal to allow EPF contributors to withdraw up to 500 ringgit a month for 12 months, which is something that we are also going to be talking about later on during the 7 o'clock hour.
And not only do the people need help, corporations are also asking for help. The Malaysian Reserve fronts with airlines in dire need of government aid or may not fly again. There's a very big problem of economic fallout when we deliberately destroy the economy by staying at home, right? We have no choice and the economy becomes a victim as a result of that.
To flatten the curve, we actually, in effect, cause an economic recession. That is one of the downsides.
Yes. Yes. Depression?
Well, let's hope not. Meanwhile, on page 4 of The Edge, short selling is suspended on Bursa amid virus-driven volatility. Yeah, because we have seen incredible dips in equity markets, not just in Malaysia, but around the world.
And we're going to be taking a look at more news in just a little while. Right now, though, we're heading into the 7 o'clock news bulletin. And here to take you there is All I Think About Now by Pixies, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.